This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later on today, you know it's a Fan Club Friday. 1 o'clock hour, our friend Rob Collins from Fox 4, sports director over there, going to join us in studio. We'll talk some draft. We'll figure out what he's been up to.
Got to draft chips.
We're definitely going to bring the golf situation up with him because he's a golfer, so we'll get his perspective.
Get his thought on the Masters, sure.
On the Masters, on our potential Drew Corn Ferry Tour qualifying, all that coming up a little bit later on in the show. And I will also have a little update on our Cody and Gold road trip and just in terms of where things are at. We continue.
Numbers wise, good.
Plenty of support for the road trip, so we appreciate everybody for supporting that. We love the numbers. We love the turnout already we're getting for that.
I'm expecting a good time down in Springfield based on the way that it's currently looking. And if, again, as a reminder, if you have already purchased your tickets but would like to purchase the shirt, just hit us up at 913-586-7965 or on socials at Cody B. Tapp or at Alex Gold. We'll get you that link. If you're looking for information on the tickets for the May 3rd, head over to 96.5 The Fan. It'll be right over there. There's a $10 ticket link. Takes you right over there. And like you said, we've got the numbers are looking pretty good. We can talk more about it here in a little bit, but the numbers are looking pretty good right now.
Video stream up on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any bit of the show. All right, let's start with the Royals, and we'll get into some draft discussion, including a conversation we heard Carrington having. I thought I actually made a couple of really good points about what the Chiefs should do because of the quarterback that they actually have. But the Royals, game one, they fall to Detroit, of course, last night. The losing streak continues. Last night was different in regards to not just that the offense did not score enough. We've seen that, but 10 guys were left on base. That was
bad opportunities. One for 12 with runners in scoring position.
10 left on base, 1 for 12 with runners in scoring position. And there's been some bad at bats throughout this losing streak. But there was a sequence, I'll be like, legitimately just kind of ticked me off. Like, because
you're getting like mad at watching it.
Yeah. Well, base is loaded, one out. And Drew Waters comes up to bat. Absolute abysmal plate appearance. Kyle Isbell comes up to bat. First pitch swing, pops it up. Inning over. They get nothing out of the bases loaded one out sequence. Michael Massey actually got on base 3 times if you're trying to find any bit of positive.
And was like doing it in any conceivable way.
Yeah,
a bunt, a CNI single, a soft single to the opposite field, whatever.
But last night the story was, they left guys on base. It wasn't that they only had 2 or 3 hits. They actually got on base in various form or fashion. They lose to the Detroit Tigers 6-1, and now this team is positioned to where, as we discussed with our benchmark for the road trip, now they essentially, to get to the number that we were hoping they could at least get to a bare minimum, they got to win 2 of the next 3, which is, as we say, they got to split this series. They got to win 2 of the next 3 now somehow, and they got Scooble on Sunday.
I guess the only advantage, and that's not going to help, but the only advantage is that at the very least, now you're back to the top of your rotation. The problem is that the Tigers rotation is pretty good. If I'm just feeling like being an optimist today, if you want me to just roll in and be like, hey, a sign that things are getting better. Before, they weren't even getting guys on base, Gold. So they're one step closer to what it takes to score runs. First, you have people on base. They weren't even doing that for the last week. Now they had people on base, and then it went miserably. We are at officially the there are no bad one day ideas. I'm not saying send everybody down. I'm not saying change your entire order. But if for one day Mikel hits leadoff, or for one day, and I think yesterday was kind of that in the interim where, you know, they got Waters in there, and it, like, for one day, there's no bad ideas as far as how you want to construct figuring out a way to get some runs. As I told you yesterday, I'm pro fight now, officially on board. I want someone to, like, throw a beanball tonight and try to scuffle a little.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I said somebody was going to get ejected yesterday.
It was Zoom wall,
it wasn't
not
cue, but it does. Like, that stuff gets overblown a little bit.
A little, yeah. But like,
we'll ask Jake Eisenberg here in 30 minutes when he joins us. You know, what's he sensing in the clubhouse? He's in the clubhouse every single day. You know, we know fans are plenty frustrated. How can you not be watching this team right now? Has that trickled down in the clubhouse in terms of is there confidence waning with anybody on the team? We'll get some insight from Jake Eisenberg coming up in 25, 30 minutes.
Last night was, out of all the ones that have been frustrating, maybe the most frustrating. Because the exact two things happened against you. Lorenzo got a little bit of trouble and was unable to secure the out, so Detroit got four runs. But again, gave up six. But like at the time, the point the game mattered, before you put in Chris Stratton to throw a grenade onto it, you'd have never gotten to him if the game was close. So before you went to that scenario, you would once again seemingly look like you were barreling towards giving up four runs again with an inability to get anyone across. They had a timely hit. You had zero. It's the same guys. I mean, that's the problem. It's like, I don't care how many times I was happy Michael Massey got a base. Good sign, right? You need other guys to get on base, etc. Still same problem. Why isn't any on base? Where's Vinny Pascoe? They had their part of this 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Vinny and Salvi and India and other guys who could have helped contribute, be run producers. And right now it just feels like no one is capable of doing that consistently. I don't want to come in here every day and just be like, well, the offense can't score, because that's kind of what it starts to feel like.
Right.
I refuse to believe still that a lot of these averages as they are right now are there. And somebody yesterday had texted, they're like, hey, you know, Jonathan Eddie's a career 260 hitter. I don't know why you expect him to be a 300 hitter. I'm like, I didn't. I at no point told you I expected Jonathan India to be a 300 hitter. I expected him to be a 340 on base guy. I expected him to give quality major league at bats. I expected him to fight, and I didn't expect him to hit 185, and I don't expect him to continue to hit 185. I expect him to eventually write.
I still want to know that tomorrow, when I think it's tomorrow, when Mark Canha is eligible, not that like the fact that we're talking about Mark Canha being an upgrade,
hitting well, though.
But he was hitting well. Mark Canha comes off the IL. All right, what's the corresponding move? Is it just simply send Drew Waters back down? I think that's what it should be. I think it should be Waters. Whether it was the fielding errors he made in the first week since he was up. Last night, I just thought the at-bats were atrocious, absolutely atrocious from him in particular. And I'm not, you know, it's just the reality of like he's the easy player to send down. So, and he was not on the opening day roster anyway. So,
yeah, that too, like you had mentioned, that was maybe out of any single player the entire game, that was probably the single angriest I was at any at-bat. He came up, big spot. Royals got something cooking. Bases loaded, one out, let's go. And he swung at two balls, three straight pitches, and struck out on three pitches. I'm like, hey, Drew, you trying here, man? What? Come on. We got to, like, focus up. And then, like, and everything went wrong. They challenged a steal that didn't look like he was going to get it overturned, didn't. And then the next inning, when you've got something going again, Renfro rolls into a double play. There wasn't a double play. He was safe, but you can't challenge it. Because you just blew the challenge. You're like,
yeah, but
oh,
we've talked
God.
With J.J. Piccolo about that challenge situation and why it's kind of weird to have challenge limits because the ump always grants it. Last night, for whatever reason,
wouldn't
the umpire didn't even grant. Now, that's not why they lost and everything like that.
No, but like, why aren't you giving it to him?
That's just, that adds to the frustration, right? When things aren't going well, then you feel like you did get screwed at one moment by an ump or whatever. Then it just fuels the flames even more. And that's where we're at. We're now every single game, anything that's not positive, because there's very little positive to bring to take out of these games right now during a losing streak, everything's magnified, and that's where we're at. And they're doing it against a division rival, a team that is in first place in the AL Central, and then you were hoping to reset and get started off on the right foot in the series, knowing the pitching matchup on Sunday that you have. And I don't know what that was.
Is that on my computer?
I think so. I don't know.
Is that you, Drew?
And
I was like, I don't even have anything pulled up.
Ghosts in the studio.
Yes, I'm editing something, and there's a pod.
And
I was like,
you know, the way the series could shape up on Sunday, if you were talking about going in bare minimum split, obviously you would love to take 3 of 4. Now you've put yourself against the wall pretty good, given Sunday. You're basically in, got to win today and tomorrow almost if you think you're going to split.
Well, yeah, because again, I can't go into any Sunday being like, I bet they'll get Scooble today. You're like, I mean, maybe. Baseball's weird, like you mentioned, and sometimes that will occur. But I mean, still, no one is hitting. Renfro's still rolling into double plays. MJ's still not getting up. Massey was the only guy who hadn't been hitting
last night,
who had a good night last night. So at least you're like, okay. Like, there's plenty of time to, like, right the ship and everything else. And, you know, they're, what, three and a half games out of first place. I'm not saying that there's just, like, but you just, this is, and this isn't the bad start to the season we've seen where they bury themselves, right? Where they start 5-15 and you and I are like, well, didn't even make it to Memorial Day. You know, it was nice while it lasted, but like, can you get a win tonight, please? Like, I'm at the point of not begging, but like, please, like, it would just to make everyone feel a little bit better. All four of these games were winnable and you lost all four of them. And so like that part becomes frustrating, especially because there was a game against the Guardians you could have won as well. That you like, in a way, not one of them, you lost like 7-0 or whatever the hell that one was, but it's a frustrating team to watch right now. Mostly because it can't hit. And the pitching's not even like last night. It wasn't like good, but it wasn't bad. Also, can we mentioned MJ. What's Stratton doing here? I mean, I've seen enough of Sisk to already put him in. Like, I mean, I watched him get like out of one jam yesterday. I'm like, all right, sold. When the arms come back, we don't need to like continue with the Chris Stratton experiment. We can probably, you know, figure out other methods of getting outs. It's a small one, but, you know, I'd like to just point that out.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it with Jake Eisenberg here in about 20 minutes or so. He joins us each and every Friday on the show. We'll get his perspective. He's around the team every single day. What's going on in that clubhouse? What changes does he think could happen this weekend with just some of the necessary roster adjustments that have to happen due to some guys coming off of the IL? Yep. So that's coming up in just a bit. But let's talk about the draft a little bit. We were listening to Carrington driving home. Actually, this was on Wednesday. We just didn't get to it yesterday on the show. And he was discussing, of course, Patrick Mahomes and how they've approached skill positions since he got his contract. And that's really what it is. How have they drafted skill position players since Patrick Mahomes got his big payday after the, I guess it would be in 2021. And so wide receiver, tight end, and running backs, for example, they have drafted Rashee Rice in the second round, Xavier Worthy, of course, in the first round last year, Sky Moore in the second round. They've spent two picks on tight end since Mahomes has gotten paid. In a big way. Wiley in the fourth last year, then he got hurt, and Noah Gray, who's now got a second contract with the team. He was a fifth round pick. And then the running back, the only one since the contract, right? Because Clyde was right before the contract.
Yeah, he was 2020. He was like the draft before.
Pacheco, which of course it turned out very well as a seventh round pick. You got a starting running back, RB1, all of that. Is that enough at the skill position players? Three wide receivers, two tight ends, and one running back. And do you expect that to change next week? We're talking, you know, yesterday with Nate Taylor about some of the positions they can go. We all on the show think we're fine with them drafting defensive line in the first round. Maybe they'll trade up and get an offensive tackle. That seems to be the hot rumor right now that they're going to trade up and get Josh Simmons. We'll see if that actually happens.
I think they want to trade up and get Josh Simmons, and I think he's going to end up going like 18 or 19. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the Chiefs pick.
And unless all this is a smokescreen, it sure is setting up like the earliest they're going to take a skill position player is running back in the second round. I don't know if you guys are reading it the same way.
No, I read it as definitely defensive line is probably the most likely still, unless they trade up and are able to get a guy like Joshua Simmons or whoever the guy is. Because the rumor is it's for one particular offensive tackle they are willing to trade up for. We all presume it's Joshua Simmons. All the rumors around people who know what they're talking about seem to think it's Joshua Simmons. But hell, I once sat here for a draft, and when they traded up for quarterback, I thought they were getting ready to take Deshaun Watson. So thank God they didn't, or this sports radio show would be way less fun for everybody across the board. But yes, I just think that I don't think it's nearly enough. I think considering gold, what are we talking here? We're talking five full drafts, and we've got what? Six players to speak of? So we got, okay, on average, one per draft. And the average round, if you average them all out, it'd be like a third. So you're telling me every year you dedicate a third to a young offensive player. They've spent way more time wasting picks on guys like trading back for Mecole Hardman. Not wasting, but you know what I'm saying, like spending too high a pick. training for Kadarius Toney, who had to dispel retirement rumors last night.
What was that yesterday on social media where the rumor was that he's pursuing a rap career and he's retiring? And then he responded and said, look, I've always been rapping. I'm not retiring. Now, look, the reality is I don't think the league's going to retire. Yeah, he may not be retiring, but there's not much of an option left in the NFL for Kadarius Toney, I don't think, at this point in time. And he has been rapping throughout his life. But that was a weird, out of nowhere rumor. That's not really.
I guess. Really, I mean, maybe he just like, yeah, he has rapped this entire time. So I guess I'm not going
to
worry
about
it.
Drew was listening to his stuff when he drove in today. It was weird. I don't know.
You were listening to Kadarius Toney anyway?
Drew was. I can't remember what his rap name is.
You know, this rumor seemed to have appeared to like. People are claiming he went on his Instagram Live and claimed that.
Well, Instagram Live has never gotten him in trouble. Did it get hacked again, or is that not happen again?
Hacked again.
I'll still say I don't think anybody's wasting their time hacking into Kadarius Toney's Instagram. That's all.
No. Or his rap name, which I think is Young Jocka.
Or listening to his raps.
I was not.
Oh,
I thought you were a big fan.
But this was his exact comment. If you're curious, if Kadarius Toney said, Goofy's on the net hollering, I'm retiring.
Goofy's on the net?
That's what he called him. Goofy's. I kind of like that term.
Goofy's.
Can I say that?
Goofy's on the net.
We can do a whole segment on this show called Goofy's on the net. Like, we could rename Trash of the Day.
You got all
Goofy's
these
on the net?
You got all these Goofy's on the net that want this guy fired.
I mean, Goofy's on the net.
Goofy's.
I got to be honest.
Let's
credit to Kadarius Toney. That's a pretty strong sentence.
Let's take a poll because I vote yes to.
Did we rename Trash of the Day Goofy's on the net?
The text line has turned into rap name suggestions for Kadarius Toney. Someone says Young Drop.
He said, just want clout. Ain't spinking on the. And then he put the poop emoji. No mo. So that was exactly what.
Do you want to read that again for us?
I think it's all out there. The rap names are getting mean. His rap name is Offsides. His rap name should be Young Drop. That's just come damn.
That's funny.
Someone said his rap name should be Wet Hands. Like it's just like, I mean, it's all
they're
over.
Good. They're good.
When he posted the Instagram Live, didn't you repeat it back to us in a clean version? Is that in the system?
Probably. I'd have to go back through and find it, but probably.
I might have to find it.
Goofy's on the net is just a good term. That's really solid by him. Back to Mahomes.
Yes.
No, they're not committing nearly enough resources to him. The fact that, and look, tight end, spoiled, right? We got Travis Kelce. We don't have to, like, throw numbers at that position. We're not lucky, but, you know, we wisely got Gray, who I think would be a starting NFL tight end for probably 12 teams in the NFL, maybe 15 if you're feeling friendly. But Pacheco, like, he's a good running back, but all you've committed is a sixth? Or a seventh, sorry, a seventh?
Seventh, yeah.
Since the time he signed the contract? And, like, part of that is because they were still feeling out the first-round pick they'd spent on Kadarius.
Yeah.
The seconds are probably the closest to that, and like worthy with the first, but like, yeah, you should probably be committing more resources to it.
But I'm saying I don't know if you're going to get a huge drastic shift this year, other than at running back, where we know Brett Veach essentially yesterday said they're drafting a running back. Now, where it's going to happen, who knows? But they're drafting a running back less than a week from now. I don't know if it'll be by this time next week, because I don't think they're drafting one in the first round. But by this time.
They should take a tight end and a running back and a wide receiver. See, two offensive players this year.
Yeah, I just, you know, they're going to probably go running back and wide receiver at some point in the draft. You think they're going to draft the tight end as well? I don't know. To me, I'm just looking at the tight end room. While this is probably it for Kelce, Jared Wiley's a wild card at this point after the injury. Noah Gray's just signed a new contract, so he's the number two tight end. Could be a number one next year if they don't replace somebody. I don't think they're going to be all that aggressive at tight end in the draft, I guess, is all I'm saying. They've got plenty of numbers for this year at the tight end position that, to me, if you're worried that he retires, Kelce, after this year, then next year in the draft, you want to spend a premium pick next year and go get one, by all means, and have the rookie paired up with Noah Gray in 2026.
You can live.
I'm good with that.
It's not even necessarily like tight end. It's just, I think you might be better finding the playmaker there than at wide receiver. I'm just saying, like, running back's a given. We all agree, no questions. They should take a running back. We all have the guy we like. But they should take one more offensive skill position, at least one more offensive skill position player to go with it. It's nowhere close to the Aaron Rodgers thing. They've already taken more first-round picks at that premium position than they have at any point during the Aaron Rodgers era. But this goes back to maybe an offseason conversation we had not long after they lost the Super Bowl, which is, I kind of think they should refuse to go into whatever the first day of the season is, September 5th, 6th, whatever the hell it is this year. going in not thinking we are a top two offense again. And the way to do that is to inundate him with weapons, because that's what they were when it was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins and all these guys together, when they had like a really powerful unit, and they had a better offensive line than two, but when they had a really powerful unit, that's, and you know, like, I'm not saying it's more or less likely. I'm just saying, like, yeah, you can't park the Ferrari forever, right? You got to let him get out and drive. Everything should be going 10, 15 yards down the field.
The thing that we're going to all find out the answer to, clearly a big chunk of their belief, unless they surprise us in the draft, is that, hey, the offense, in large part last year, as much as we focus on the O-line issues, in large part is, well, Hollywood Brown barely played due to injury. Xavier Worthy ended up being more of a factor, and Rashee Rice got hurt in week four. And so part of it is, you know, is there some risk with it? For sure there's some risk, but part of it is they feel like at some point next year, maybe it takes till week six to have it happen, but they will have a Worthy, Brown, Rice wide receiver room, and then they add an explosive back to go with Pacheco, and in their mind, that's a huge upgrade in the offense, like that they believe last year the offense would have been a top five offense if it wasn't for the injuries. Now, the injury risk is still going to be there, right? There's some guys with some injury history, even though I do believe, we don't need to get into the whole back and forth about it again, but Hollywood Brown, I do consider that a fluke injury when it happens on the first play in preseason, and it was an injury that nobody else has ever had happen before in the league other than Tyreek Hill. So,
the Chiefs seem to be the team.
Yeah, that's just unfortunate. That's just unfortunate.
Man, you're right, S. Cap, I'm not hurt. None of that S. Save that S. I'm in a body cast right now at this point. Was that Kadarius Toney? It must have been.
Cody reading rap lyrics.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff. You're right about the Hollywood. Look, I wouldn't necessarily disagree that the Hollywood Brown injury, but like, he's still, like, the previous 2 years he was an injured player, and three of the previous four.
That was playing in, like, last year he missed more than even then. Like, that's why it's different.
Normally he played between 12 and 14.
Yeah, you want to say you only think he's going to play 12 or 14 this year, then that's fine, right?
I would probably set the over-under at 12.5 for him.
Yeah, last year was just fluky. It wasn't even, like, a soft tissue hamstring injury. I mean, it was such a fluky thing. Literally on the first play.
Yeah. It's just
dangerous,
like,
chest injury, right? Or sternoclavicular or something.
Sternoclavicular. Yeah. Now, look, I'll say, like, based on that, it'd be like, yeah, I just assume that even if he didn't have that injury, he would have missed four games because he's an injury, because he has a long injury history.
I mean, someone said, like, Rashee Rice.
12 games would be a lot more than they got last year. Rashee Rice playing the entire season would be a lot more than they got last year. Like, injuries tend to ebb and flow a little bit. I presume, like you do, that they will have better injury luck. They won't lose their starting running back, two starting wide receivers. They won't have their starting defensive end for half the year and everything else.
And there'll be other injuries, don't get me wrong. Though, unfortunately, there'll be other guys that get hurt, but someone on the text line said it's true. Like the Rashee Rice one, you could put that in the fluke category. Happened on an interception from Mahomes. He's trying to run back and make a tackle, and unfortunately, we all know what happened there, and his season was done.
But also we're different players, right? I'm not worried about
I'm just making it more about, hey, their thought process is we're going to have, everybody. This was wide receiver room. In their mind, the wide receiver room was fine last year. The injuries is why it was a problem.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
And is there a little risk with that? Sure. But that, I think that was clearly how they approached this offseason. They truly believe that they have the right three wide receivers to run the room. Just they weren't on the field at the same time, and that's going to be the big question heading into 2025.
We promise you a little bit of an update. We just wanted to let everybody know that if they want to come to the Cody and Gold road trip, it is Saturday, May 3rd in Springfield. We've mentioned this a couple times. We will for the next couple of weeks. You have until next Wednesday, if you were coming on the trip, to put in your specified shirt order. That way you can get the size of shirt that you fit in or want to wear or anything else in between. That link is separate. So if you need that, you just got to message us, 913-586-7965. As of last night, it appears a couple more were purchased this morning. We are barreling towards, we're like maybe 5 or 6 people shy of 100. So like, we're already essentially at 100 people going on this trip. Gold, I don't know what you were originally planning on, but it looks like it's going to be a crowd. So if you guys want to come join us and have a good time, take the major league roster out of it. Doesn't have anything to do with that. We just want to go up to Caglione and hit the ball over the railroad tracks or whatever the hell exists in Springfield. The highway, the railroad tracks, an abandoned warehouse, whatever's over their fence in right field. I just want to watch them hit it over there. We're planning on a big crowd now. So if you guys are interested in coming, 96.5thefan.com for more event details. $10 tickets, Gold, we mentioned. $10 t-shirts if you guys are interested as well.
Yeah, 89 listeners plus myself And Cody and Drew and Dusty all slated to head down there, and still have plenty of time to sign up for it in general. But yes, the t-shirts, next Wednesday is the deadline for that. And
got to get them in time, you know?
That's right. Got to get them in time. And not that you didn't want the numbers to continue to be ridiculous, but more and more confident every day based off of what's going on in AA as well. For those that you were worried, and like, is CAG's going to be in AA still on May 3rd and all that? If you look at the updated numbers, he's come back down to earth a little bit. So less concerned if you were about, oh my gosh, he's just going to tear it up in AA for four straight weeks and get called up to AAA after 20 games. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that was probably, as we've mentioned,
12 games in, he's hit 224. Not again, three home runs, 15 RBI, 14 strikeouts. Not saying that we shouldn't be excited for him. My point is that if you were not buying tickets for the road trip because you thought he'd get called up in a week and a half or something, I think you're safe. I think
from
you're safe
the there. 417, there's a building over the right field wall that is collects there? Baseballs. Okay, right there. Wherever he's hitting the baseball, we know that. It's been a couple of days. He's like on a 1-for-15 or something stretch. I mean, it happens. I'm not going to.
Someone said they tried to sell their wife on going to Springfield, but she's going to be out of town. Well, she's already out of town, you know, just, you know, unless you got kids, you just go as well. Just go out of town. You can go take a vacation.
Take the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There'll be so many people there. Surely somebody will help, you know, get your kid a cotton candy or something, you know?
Is that the go-to? Not Dippin' Dots?
Kids,
if
kids,
your kid, what's your kid asking for more? Dippin' Dots or cotton
probably
candy?
Probably Dippin' Dots, but I've said this on the show, I think, but Dippin' Dots are trash.
No, they're not.
That is trash.
No, they're not. No, ice it's cream. Just we've been lied to. That was ice cream of the future 30 years ago, and we're still waiting.
The ice cream
that's
the
not
future.
The ice cream of the future.
Trash. Trash. Trash ice cream.
See, like, I could still eat a cup of Dippin' Dots. There's no way you're going to catch me eating cotton candy at 34 years old.
I mean, it's like bad
old.
Pizza. I'm not here to say, like,
Drew's,
it is
Drew, inedible. Are you a cotton candy guy?
I haven't had cotton candy in a long time, yeah. But it does sound good.
Yeah, I can't do cotton candy anymore. Dippin' Dots, though, I'd still eat some in a heartbeat.
I can't think of the last time I had cotton candy. Just feel like my teeth are going to fall out. I'm like taking a bite of it.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
Like, there's just a point where I'm like, I don't think so. I'm not interested in a Dippin' Dot either. More savory. I don't really get dessert at the ballpark.
I'm with you.
Is that wrong?
No, I'm with you. Usually. That's mainly kids, I think. Someone that might be an expert on ballpark food. Typically, if you check out his Instagram, Jake Eisenberg will sometimes have a photo or two about certain treats, certain foods at the ballpark. Jake Eisenberg, we're going to talk about the Royals' offensive struggles. He's in the clubhouse every day. He joins us next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims.
Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're just getting started here on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get into some new details are out. What might be a very popular place later on this summer. Might be hard to get into for a while, but we'll get into that and tell you what we're talking about.
Get you on the list.
12 minutes or so. Yeah, you wish. You wish. I don't know. Maybe our next guest will be capable of doing that. I don't know if he knows what we're talking about. We'll have to fill him in at some point. But Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster, you hear him here on 96.5 The Fan. And you'll hear him throughout the weekend as the Royals are in the Motor City taking on the Detroit Tigers. Jake, good to have you on the show again, man. I saw your post this morning. Looked like you had a nice early start right there in downtown Detroit or somewhere in Detroit. Have a nice cup of coffee and everything. How's the road trip treating you individually? We'll get to the performance on the field in a bit.
You know that wherever we go, you can count on me finding some kind of breakfast place or local coffee shop and having a nice latte or coffee somewhere. It's actually one of my favorite things to do when we travel is to find kind of these different, you know, smaller, you know, family-owned local coffee places and just kind of sit and enjoy some coffee and get the day started.
So it looks like you went latte today, huh? Is that where we're?
I went latte today. Yeah, there's a spot out here called Commonwealth Cafe, great breakfast place, and they've got an excellent maple latte. So that's what was in the cup this morning.
Since that feels like something you should have gotten in Canada, but that's fine. I'll let it go. But when you
we're close enough, I just hop off the river. Yeah,
he's a bridge away.
That's true. Fair enough. That's true. Since we're already talking food, we might as well start there. Dippin' Dots, underrated, properly rated, or overrated?
I mean, it's been the ice cream of the future since, 1984?
Exactly.
So I feel like they're a little over their skis a little bit. I mean, if it were the ice cream of the future 40 years ago, I feel like it's either the ice cream of the present or we need a different slogan. Look, I like Dippin' Dots just fine, but it doesn't really compare to real ice cream, in my opinion.
That's it. It's like worse than even Froyo. If I want ice cream, I want real ice cream, not Dippin' Dots. Not cotton candy flavored frozen.
I'm good for Dippin' Dots like once a season, maybe.
Okay. I didn't know. We wanted to at least address that. It was important stuff.
It was very important stuff that had to be discussed.
It sounds like there's a pretty good spot opening up that I should be trying to get into. I'd like to get filled in on that.
We will. We'll
get there. Now we need your help and advice for a second. In your time in the minors, my guess is you went through Springfield at some point in time.
So I was never in the Texas League. I have not been through Springfield, but I know many people that have. So if you want me to cook up a couple of recommendations, I can reach out to some folks.
Please do.
What I can find for you.
We wanted some tips. We were going to ask you about the ballpark. Everybody says Hammonds Field is great. And that's where we're going to watch the Naturals play with Cags and everybody in a couple of weeks. But every person that texts in said, if you've never been there, it's one of the nicest minor league parks, right? Okay.
Yeah, I've sadly never been. Was never in that league, but I've heard good things.
Let's talk about the team on the field a little bit. Obviously, it's been a struggle for the Royals. Last night, a little bit different than the previous week, where they got runners on base, but then were still unable to get them home. 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. We think it's the top of the order. We think it's India and Vinny and these guys who need to step up first. Where are you seeing the biggest problems with the offense?
Yeah, it's it's a little hard to pin down because it's more or less the same group that last year were world beaters with runners in scoring position and were creating, you know, these frenzied innings, these frenzied hitting situations like HUD likes to say, you know, on the TV side. And so it's a little bit perplexing, you know, what the differences are this year compared to last year. Digging into some of the batted ball data is interesting. You know, the Royals lead baseball in balls pulled in the air. When you dig into that a little bit further, most of that are pop-ups. The Royals also lead the majors in pop-up rate. And so that's, you know, kind of one of the more concerning batted ball trends, because if you pop the ball up 99 times out of 100, that's going to be an out. And usually it's not a productive one in a sac fly situation or anything like that. So the pop-ups are really the more concerning batted ball trend. pulling the ball in the air in general is a good thing. It's how you do damage in the game today. And you look at the other teams that, you know, are near the top of baseball and balls pulled in the air, and it's the Cubs who lead the majors in runs scored, and the Dodgers are right up there. And frankly, anything that the Dodgers are doing right now, you want to try and emulate in some way. And so there are some underlying things about this offense that tell me that, you know, this is a spurt and not an entire, you know, thing that we're dealing with over the course of the season. Not to mention the fact, you know, I was looking at, you know, Salvador Perez's batted ball stuff this morning, and I've kind of been keeping a closer eye on it because he's been one of the unluckiest players in baseball this year. I mean, he hit another missile last night that, you know, if the wind's going in a different direction or it's a little bit warmer out, it's like 10 rows deep. But last night, it's a flyout. And I feel like there's been a lot of that so far this season. I was talking about this on the air last night. There's been a lot of moments, whether it's batted balls or situations or pitches, or things like that, where we've been saying, well, if this, or if only that, or what if this? And the Royals feel this season that in a lot of the games, they've been in an if play away from having the score flipped in their direction.
What have you seen in the clubhouse? You're there every single day. You've been with this team just about as much as anybody over the last year or two. Is the confidence waning at all? Is obviously frustration would be understandable, certainly there for fans as well. So what's kind of the mood that you've seen during this losing streak and really what has become so far a season long, even as early as it is, offensive struggle?
Well, I think one of the really great things that Matt Quatrero has done in his tenure as Royals manager is really impress upon these guys of this today mindset that we talked about a lot last year, and that hasn't been as profound this year. It's not like they've got new t-shirts this year, but the mindset is still there, and grinding for that at bat on that pitch and in this situation is still there. And I do think that the Royals coaching staff and the Royals clubhouse, you know, by extension, has done a really good degree. Has done a really good job of staying kind of focused on the moment in today, as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow or this stretch where it's been a struggle to score runs. Sure, there's frustration, but there's also, you know, the same amount of hard work going into today's game as yesterday's game. I haven't seen necessarily, you know, guys gripping the bat a little bit tighter or pressing, if you will. That hasn't been super noticeable. It just seems like things are not falling or clicking the way that we've been accustomed to watching this group, you know, have things go offensively.
Is this, I guess, you know, like, and you follow baseball a lot. The Royals obviously were trying to work on their on-base percentage. That was part of the reason they went after Jonathan India. Is this just the kind of streaks a team is going to go through when they do have a history of not being a huge on-base team? I feel like the slides are more, I don't know, like more pronounced when you're a team that has never been particularly strong at the on-base department.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think it's more pronounced and magnified because it's early in the season and it's the thing that we're focusing on. I do think that if this were a five-game stretch in July and the Royals were sitting six games above 500, I think we'd look at it more as a blip than as a totality, which might be the case right now because we're only 20 games into the season. As far as the on-base percentage stuff goes, I think it's interesting that I think one of the Royals' strengths offensively as a team, and that has continued this year, is that this is not a team that strikes out all that much. Now, that's shown up a little bit more over the last couple of games, and you tip your cap to the pitchers on the other side, too. Remember, the pitchers are trying to get them out. But this is not a team that strikes out a ton. This is not a team that walks very much, but this is a team that has a very high contact rate. I mean, you think about guys like Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey and Michael Garcia and Jonathan India and Bobby Witt Jr. These are guys that don't necessarily draw a ton of walks aside from, you know, maybe Vinny when he's walking more, but they also don't strike out a ton, which means they're putting the ball in play a ton. And right now, you know, going back to some of the batted ball data, the issue has been that the hard hit stuff just isn't falling. You know, until Garcia's single, what was it, in the seventh or eighth last night, until that single, each of the last five hard hit balls that Michael Garcia had were outs. And that's the way it goes sometimes. You know, and there's also, you know, more pop-ups than they would like. So there's a lot of contact, and I think this is a contact-oriented team that is not seeing the kind of contact that they want early on this year.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. We know potentially there's some roster decisions just with some guys getting healthy this weekend. I think Mark Canha, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he's eligible to come off the IL tomorrow. What do you think is likely to happen there? He was playing pretty well until he had the unfortunate collision there with the left field wall.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw from Mark Canha, both you know, in the exhibition games in Texas and then early on in the season is exactly what the Royals were hoping for with Mark Canha, which is a really professional at-bat from the right side, kind of a grinded-out plate appearance. And he was off to a pretty good start. And I think, you know, that's something that the Royals could certainly use right now, is a guy like Canha who is a lot more, you know, drawing walks and getting on base, you know, hit by pitches and that sort of thing. Anytime you can put a base runner on, it puts just a little bit more pressure on the opposing side. And so I think getting Mark Canha back will certainly be helpful. I don't want to go as far to say that it is the solution to the overall issue. I don't think that's fair to Mark or fair to the rest of the Royals who, you know, are, again, are still putting in the work. And it's not as if, you know, it's a Mark Canha lineup away from putting up 10 runs on Sunday. I don't think that's a fair thing to say, but I do think that having Mark Canha back will certainly help.
When you look at what the rest of the rotation has still been doing, do you, like, look, this is optimism stuff. You obviously cover the team. We talk about this. I at least still view the idea that, like, well, if they're going to pitch like this, I don't know how bad it can really be. Like, I know.
It's such a good point. It's such a good point, Cody, because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, this is a rotation that now in 17 of the 20 games this year, the starting pitcher has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer. 17 of the 20 games, your starting pitcher has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer. And the other 3 times that they allowed more than 3 runs, they allowed 4 runs. So you've not had a blow-up start this year. You haven't had a situation where you feel as though you've got a big hole to dig yourself out of within the first few innings. And so this rotation is keeping the Royals in the game. And unfortunately, it's been magnified because runs have been hard to come by. But if you ask me which thing is more likely to continue, which thing is more sustainable, which thing is more what you would expect, the offense, you know, having some struggles right now, or the rotation, you know, consistently putting up those kinds of numbers, I'm taking the rotation without blinking an eye. I think that this is a sustainable thing that the rotation is doing. You know, there's going to be a start here or there for somebody. It's just going to happen. But more often than not, I think you're going to get quality and consistency from the rotation. And I think in the long run, that's going to put this team in positions to succeed. And ultimately, they will.
You had the coffee this morning. Are you a Detroit-style pizza guy? Where are we at? I know you're from New York, right? So I guess that's probably, I shouldn't even ask you. I know you're not going to choose that over New York style.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being totally honest, Alex, I'm a gluten-free pizza style
kind of
guy.
Okay.
So really, wherever there's a celiac-friendly slice is where I'm most happy. But if I've got to choose between the two locales, then yeah, I'm going to lean New York slice.
I mean, New York out of those as well, but also it's way, like, Detroit's way better than Chicago in my Chicago style. It's too much sauce.
I love Chicago style pizza.
Look, I don't want to get in trouble with anybody in Chicago. It's a lovely city and I enjoy it, but like that's less pizza and more pie in my opinion.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Cody just calls it lasagna, which I feel like is what people say when they just don't like it.
I mean, it's not like, it is more lasagna-like than like eating a pizza. You've had a lot of pizza in your life. That's not exactly, that's less like pizza than a lot of other foods.
Here's what I'll say. When the best way to eat the pizza is with a fork and a knife, it's not quite pizza, in my opinion.
All right. Fair enough. You like just to fold that slice over. I get it. I'm Mr. New York. I get it. Thanks, Jake. We appreciate it.
We're not folding the point over to the back of the crust either. We're folding it in half at the back of the crust. That is the proper way to fold pizza. And I may not have had what you would consider a real slice of pizza in like 15 years, but I still know my way around a pie.
There you go. All right, Jake, appreciate it, man.
You're the resident pro on this show, you know?
Yeah, so there you go.
That's Jake Eisenberg. He joins us every Friday here on Cody and Gold. Of course, you hear him on 96.5 The Fan and also over on the FanDuel Sports Network, and say travels to them when they get back from Detroit after this weekend. And hopefully they come back with a couple wins, because obviously right now it has been rough to watch the offense. And you know, he mentioned a couple of the metrics. And let me say this. I know there's some people listening that are like, I don't care about the metrics. I just want to see results. I understand
that's fair
that
at this point.
But this early in the season, I don't want to hear that in July when the team's still not hitting, or
but
June.
April 18th?
When it's 20 games in, I actually will listen to the metric stuff more, because you're like, hey, is it just, it's a small sample size, and if this player is quote unquote unlucky, I don't want to hear that on June 1st, but on April 18th, I actually put stock into that.
Well, I also just, and it's a fair question to ask yourself, which is just, hey, do you think it is more likely that the Royals that the Royals pitching does not continue at this rate, or that Jonathan India, Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez all hit 185? I'm pretty sure, like, look, we all think that MJ Melendez is a limited offensive player probably at this point. He's off to a slow start again this year. He last year hit higher than 185. And so if you're asking me which of the two is more likely to continue, I obviously think it's the pitching and not those three guys hitting so poorly. But the thing I had mentioned to him earlier, this is part of the problem, I do think, with building an offense around a team that doesn't get on base. The slumps. Slump. Because if you aren't hitting, nobody's on base and accidentally gets it home either, right? If no one's on base, you can't bloop a guy home. You can't oopsie a ball that's an error that gets someone around. You can't do any of that and run into that stuff. And so if you don't get on base, I feel like the slumps are worse when you slump. And so I think there's some part of it that just feels true about that. And India has been probably the bigger issue with that because he's supposed to be the on-base guy. Well, right now, he's not starting hot.
You know, even though Bobby still has found ways to get it done at times, his job is so much tougher right now. I mean, if you're an opponent, if you're the Tigers tonight, you know, you're not giving them anything. You're not giving them anything. Nobody's getting on base in front of them, and you're not worried about who's on after them. So you're not giving anything to Bobby Witt Jr. It's making his job even tougher, and everything right now, at the exception of on a given night of maybe one player, sometimes two players, everything as a collective is not working at the plate. And that's why they sit in the spot that they sit. Record-wise is one thing, but more importantly is the offensive numbers right now, because that's the 20-game stretch. The record itself was not that bad four days ago, but it's the underlying offensive numbers since opening day. Mm-hmm. And why we're all having the conversation that we've been having on now April 18th, part of a 10-game road trip. The Royals, of course, on the air again tonight right here on 96.5, the Fan, as they continue their series against Detroit. We were teasing Jake there right before we had him on about some exclusive spots, and a spot in particular that's probably going to, well, they don't want to say it's exclusive, but it might be initially, because I don't know how you're going to get...
The first couple of bookings is going to be a little tough.
We already knew they announced 1587 Prime. It's a steakhouse with Kelsey and Mahomes. Mm-hmm. It's going to open at the Lowe's Hotel in downtown Kansas City. I think at one point it was supposed to open in the spring, but the latest update was it's going to open this summer inside the Lowe's Hotel. We have some more details on this. We knew it was already backed by Mahomes, Kelsey, and a hospitality group called Noble 33. They're going to have stadium tunnel-inspired entrances with brass field inlays, football-shaped seating, red marble tabletops, 238 seats, private dining rooms, and a 20-seat central bar, plus nightly live music from a grand piano opening this summer. How long is it going to take for you to actually just get into that restaurant, Cody?
A year? I mean, like, I don't know.
Can you get reservations 6 months out? Because that's the way.
Oh, I'll think
go
so.
You said you'll never. I'll go at some
point. Sure?
You'll go at some point. Yeah. I'll make it an effort to try to go at some point. Now, initially, you got to be somebody special, I think, in town to be able to get into those. That place is going to be booked up for a while.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I'll tell you why I'm on the fence. This has nothing to do with Travis.
Oh, boy.
This has nothing to do with it.
Here we go. I want to hear this.
Personal experience.
Here we go.
Personal experience.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes affects it. I went years ago for an anniversary with my wife. We were probably like 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
To George Brett's on the Plaza. And I'm just going to tell you, awful. Awful food. Awful experience.
This has a terrible restaurant.
So like all I'm saying is the last athlete endorsed restaurant I went to in Kansas City was not an enjoyable experience.
Now look,
This one looks very nice.
I don't know the background.
But I'm going to need some reviews before I make my call.
I don't know the background. You could tell me who was the restaurant group behind George Brett's back in the day. My point is the group behind this one has a long-standing history of very successful, you know, high-end restaurants across the world.
That is a pretty good sign. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying I'll never go, but I'm not in a hurry to get there first. Look, they offer me a seat or whatever.
You can go after the comments you just said. I don't think you can go. No,
I'm just worried.
I'll go at some point. It's obviously going to be very expensive. It's going to just be impossible to get into for a while, clearly. And there's a special VIP entrance as well, if you're wondering, for celebrities. So.
What are we looking at?
Did they release a menu yet? What's that?
They release a menu yet?
No.
Can I get a couple of dishes?
They're going to have the menu out months early.
Steakhouse, right? So is the vibe?
Yeah.
Man, do like a good steakhouse. I'm not saying that. Someone just said, can't confirm that George Brett.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It was terrible.
I'm just wondering who was behind it.
It's been so long now, man. I got no idea. I mean, I don't even have the Vegas
idea. This is a different level of restaurant, I believe.
And, you know, it just could have been. Yes, I do agree with that.
Much different level.
I think if I'm getting in, it's probably at least a year before they'd even let me in the door.
Well, it's not. It's just it's going to be booked up.
Do you think it's a, like, if you go, you think you're wearing a jacket? Is this a jacket situation?
I think it's at least khakis and a dress shirt.
Hmm. Not jeans.
No jeans.
You don't think I do jeans and a sport coat?
Maybe a nice pair of jeans.
Nice pair of jeans. Not like the ones that are frayed on the bottom, right? Yeah. The pair you wear a little bit less or whatever. A pair of nice looking boots or something, right? You're not wearing like, or like maybe you get away with some Holmes colorways. Like, you know, maybe you can get away with tennis shoes if they're his shoes.
I don't know. I don't know what the dress code is. It's very high end restaurant.
It just, this place, based on the description and the way that you guys are talking about it, this place just screams, I can get the same quality food somewhere else, but I'm going to go just to go because it's a luxury thing.
That's the way that it screams. The brand behind it would suggest no. And that this is just going to be a really, really, really nice restaurant with high quality food. Like, I'm interested if it's that, right? Yeah, I like good food. I like going to a fancy dinner with my wife like anyone else. So, like, I am interested.
Noble 33, like, they're known across the world for restaurants. Like, this is not just some, it's a company that I don't think they're going to half-ass this thing. So, yes, will it be the intrigue for a lot of people in Kansas City because Mahomes and Kelce are connected to it? Of course, that adds to it versus if Cody just opened up a steakhouse. And the same thing. Obviously, there'd be less buzz around it.
The Cody and Gold C&G pizza was gonna kill, though.
It was.
I guess we were going to have to decide on what kind of pizza we were going to be.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I don't think we would have tried to do deep dish here. No. Honestly, would have said thin crust or New York style.
Yeah, it would have been, honestly, if C&G pizza ever comes back around, it will absolutely be. I'm looking at some of the restaurants now as part of this group. It's very few restaurants. They don't have, like...
You asked if there was a menu out, and I said no. And he said, Gold, they have to at least have some sort of idea. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't know the menu. Cody was asking if the menu is public yet. And I said no. Of course, no kidding. Spoiler, they're going to have fillets and ribeyes and all kinds of different steaks. Marble displays of steaks as you walk in. Like, of course they know the menu.
What Cody do you think a steak's going to cost? Let's just
petite strip.
Oh. Now, petite filet.
6 ounce.
6 ounce. Petite filet.
A la carte sides, obviously.
Oh, dude. Clearly. Obviously. I'm asking you literally just the price of the steak. Not whatever you're paying for, like the chorizo rainbow carrots. Mm-hmm. Not any other side. I'm just asking you, what you're paying for just a 6 ounce petite filet.
The cheapest filet on the menu. I'm going to go.
We should say 97. Man, I was going to go a little lower. You think it'd be 97?
Maybe I'm high. Maybe it's like 85. Maybe it's 85.
I'm trying to think about like... So
it's in a hotel too. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. A really nice hotel.
That rent's not cheap.
I'm going to go 78.
Okay.
My official guess, $78 for a petite filet. That's all. That's my official guess.
From the 913, of course, Drew would say something associated with Patrick Mahomes is overrated. I didn't say that it was overrated.
He said he's worried it might be.
No. No,
I'll tell you this. If it was Joe Burrow's restaurant, the venue would look great, and then it'd be disappointing all the way around.
No, I just think that it screams.
Good on the outside, no substance.
It screams. It screams private golf club to me. I know it's open to the public, but it screams private golf club.
That's rich coming from you. Nice. After you're saying we have to follow all the golf rules.
No, I understand that, but I think that again, yeah. I don't have to. If I go and I play golf. Fortunately, I have some ins and outs where I don't have to drop a band on a round of golf, and I can do. I know how to show up to a golf course. But if I'm going out to eat for a steakhouse,
someone says a steak is $87.15.
Is it worth a steak being $90 when I can get something else? When I can get a similar, I can get a good steak for half the cost.
I can make a filet at home. I can grill a filet at home as well. Cody would always tell me that when we joked in Vegas when I went and had a steak. Cody's like, well, I can have how dare you get spaghetti and meatballs at an Italian restaurant? And I was like, well, by that logic, I mean everything. There's no reason to ever go out.
But I don't apply that to every food. I think some foods are better in restaurants.
No, of course. But that's why I'm saying it comes across as I'm doing this because it's something to do because I have the money to do it rather than fancy restaurants all the time.
It's been a long time. I really enjoy going to like a fancy restaurant and getting a really nice meal. So like, I'm very much pro that. We asked this once, Drew. I think it might've been before you were here as a random question. What's the most you've ever spent on a single meal? Like you and your wife, what's the maximum dollar you have spent for two people to eat? No, I just meant like, cause that might tell you whether or not you're going here.
The entirety of it.
Yeah.
Tip, everything.
Yeah. Tip, food, the whole thing. Ballpark, obviously, you probably don't remember. Like, I've got a vague idea because, like, the couple of, like, extra nice places you've went to in your life.
Probably 100-ish.
Okay.
A little bit over 100? That'd be my guess. I can't
I'm probably in that, like, three range for the single most expensive meal I've ever had. So, like, you know, I don't feel like that's going to be way off a base of
if
that.
If you have the money to do it, more power to you.
I just did it, you know. Sometimes you just live life.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, people who will be first in line at this place, they're doing it more for the... Somebody said it's 75% for the experience. Like, I feel like that's the... You're going because it's Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey's restaurant.
For sure.
You're
not going because of the food. But we've also all been to a steakhouse, and you compare it to meaning, like, one that's very high in... And there is a clear difference in the quality of the steak.
Yeah, you would hope that you get what you pay for. If I'm going to pay $90 for a steak, I hope that I get a good steak. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Man, people are now putting in their best meals. Eddie V's $485, some $500-plus at Shanahan Steakhouse, so a different celebrity-backed restaurant, some $400 at the Strat in Vegas. I mean...
And we dropped some coin at Barry's at Circa.
It might be more than three and fair. I might have lowballed myself. It might be more like four.
The way that I think about this is if a meal costs as much as my car payment does for a month, sorry.
No, I hear you. Special occasions, man. Special occasions. Nobody's saying to go there on a random Friday night just for the hell of it.
If I had to
When I get my car paid off, you know, I'll be able to drop a...
If you sell the car, then you'll be
that too.
We'll just go as a show.
I'd like to
make it happen. All right, up next, guys, we're late
for
a break. Let's talk more about the wide receiver production, knowing what we might see happen early in the year, and now an outrageous list to date a woman. She put out a list. We'll see if you guys agree with any of them. Next.